Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. This morning is Sunday, July 8th, 2018, and we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. We'll start with our prayer. Lauren.
From Mrs. Eddy on page 220 of Miscellany. Each day I pray for the pacification of all national difficulties, for the brotherhood of man, for the end of idolatry and infidelity, and for the growth and establishment of Christian religion, Christ Christianity. I also have faith that my prayer availeth, and that he who is overturning will overturn until he whose right it is shall reign. Each day I pray, God bless my enemies, make them thy friends, give them to know the joy and the peace of love.
Thank you. And then Miscellany, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind. For then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. And as some of you know, the rescue is underway for those little boys in Thailand. I know everyone's been praying for their safe return. God makes a way in the wilderness. There had to be a way. The reason I'm so blown away... last week I read from the Smiley book where there was a quote from Archibald McClellan saying that Mrs. Eddy did not intend for the cover of the Sentinel to ever be changed. And for quite some time now, I've missed that beautiful look. I mean, even in our own magazine, we've tried to change it somewhat to look like an early Sentinel. But after reading that, well, Jeremy's gone to work, and you should see what he's done to the cover of our magazine. It's going to be bigger as it was during Mrs. Eddy's time. It'll be pale blue, and we will have the beautiful ladies with the lamp. One says, a lady with a lamp shall stand in the great history of the land. And under the other is a noble type of good, heroic womanhood. And the Smiley book, the cover of the Smiley book, is also in spirit with this. So as far as I'm concerned, you can never improve on what Mrs. Eddy did. It's impossible. What Jeremy's accomplished in a couple of days is miraculous. And there again, he said his training is all in this direction.
Yeah, my first graphics art job was all about this kind of stuff. So,
anyway.
It was back to base.
Little did you know, huh?
It is wonderful what God has brought here. Everything that we've needed to keep going to accomplish this work. I'm so very, very grateful. Oh, thank you, Jeremy. Now, I want to speak, before we go into sacrament, and we're going to talk today about the power of unselfed love, but there was something else I want to speak about, and that is Linda and I'm so grateful for Linda and Shardy. They've come, they've gone through, we've had boxes and boxes of history in this church, and I was always intending to go through it, but never had time, and they've come, and they've done it, and they find these wonderful and very important things, are resurrecting them, giving them life. During the 80s, I would say, there were many who were sounding the bell as to what was going on in the Christian Science movement, the decline, the disobedience, and we've spoken of Smiley. There was also some letters that went out at that time called the Paul Revere letters. I think they went out anonymously. There was also the Reg Carey letters. And there was also a man named Andrew Hartsook. And many of you know of him. He's still here with us. And he writes what's called The Banner, which, and any of you can get it. It's free. Someone asked, does he do this alone? As far as I know, he does do it alone. He kind of reports as to what's going on in the cement center. But he wrote, it was a compilation of articles that he put together that Linda found. They're very, very important because they highlight his book. He wrote a book called Christian Science After 1910, in which it exposes what happened, actually before Mrs. Eddy passed on and certainly right afterwards. That book, he sold for many years. It was available at Van Beals. More recently, we found that, it's not so available, right? And
yeah, when I looked online for it, I found one person that had one copy left and they wanted $750 for it. And everyone else said they were out of stock.
So very gratefully, we were in touch with Andrew Hartsook, and he's giving us permission to republish it. And also we have all his banners. We'll probably scan them in so anyone interested can get these things again. Now, Andrew Hartsook has very, I would say it's unselfed, worked diligently on exposing what's been going on in the organization. This book is certainly an expose of it. And he is a wonderful historian. He has this great comprehension of what's going on, and he expresses himself so well, and he gathers all the facts and brings it out in a very easy way to read and understand. Now, that is no small feat. That is his divine intelligence, and he has done this for years. And so I'm just saying how grateful I am. Now, in this little, Jeremy made it into a pamphlet for us. I'm just going to read a few quotes that he gives, because I often quote to you about things, but I'm never quite sure who said it or where they're from. I've heard it over the years, and he has many of them in this little pamphlet, and they're very important quotes. So, and he gives a little history of himself, too, how he was in the movement, he brought up in the Sunday school, had class instruction. He said he was privileged to know some old-time practitioners like Emma Shipman, Dazette McKinsey, and Irving Tomlinson. So his love for science and for Mrs. Eddy is unquestionable. But one of the first quotes he says is, Roscoe Drummond once said that the state of the world depends upon the state of the Christian Science movement, not the other way around. The state of the world depends upon the state of the Christian Science movement, not the other way around. That is why what we've been given to do is such a solemn, solemn responsibility. And then, go ahead, Florence.
No, I just said that means a lot.
It means a lot. And it is, believe me, it is very, very true. Some people I did forward this pamphlet to, if any of you want to comment. I won't get into all of it because it would take hours, but I'm just highlighting some of the quotes. Another quote, now this is a quote about the unauthorized literature. He says, Mrs. Eddy wrote in the July 1891 journal, quote, I consider my students as capable individually of selecting their own reading matter and circulating it as a committee which would be chosen for this purpose. And this was part of a last-minute notice added to the journal by Mrs. Eddy to stop an effort to, quote, authorize literature in her day. This notice was removed by the directors in the bound volumes, offered to reading rooms. It is preserved in an original journal in the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. So there is the quote thing that she, that there was no such thing as authorized or unauthorized literature from our leader, from Mrs. Eddy. And let's see. It's a very, very important for you to read all of this, I think. Everyone should. So it goes into the changes in miscellaneous writings. And then, okay, this is the quote I've sometimes mentioned about the communists. He says, the Communist Party of the Soviet Union targeted the Boston headquarters for infiltration in the Manual of Instructions of Psycho-Political Warfare, published in the early 1930s, for use by the communist operatives. In Chapter 14, entitled The Smashing of Religious Groups, the following appears, quote, in the field of pure healing, the Church of Christ Scientists of Boston, Massachusetts, excels in commanding the public favor and operates many sanitariums. All must be swept aside. They must be ridiculed and defamed, and every cure they advertise must be asserted as a hoax. You must recruit every agency of the nation marked for the slaughter into a foaming hatred of religious healing. You must suborn district attorneys and judges into an intense belief as fervent as an ancient faith in God that Christian Science or any other religious practice which might devote itself to mental healing is vicious, bad, insanity-causing, publicly hated, and intolerable. We must be like the vine upon the tree. We use the tree to climb and then, strangling it, grow into power on the nourishment of its flesh. Now, they've made headway in this, and he brings this out, the communist movement, or, you know, it's not person, place, or thing. It's animal magnetism operating where it can. The Antichrist. He talks about the monitor, infiltration of the monitor, what has happened. Certainly within our movement, and as the movement goes down, well, he says, so goes the nation, so goes the world. That's where, not while we're around, and there are others, many others, too, working diligently. That's why Amanda's readings Wednesday night were so important, and many have commented on them. And what we read last week, and she read it, too, about Mrs. Eddy's 4th of July address. Any comments before I go on?
So it should be no surprise to anybody why our nation is having the difficulties that it's having. Is a direct attack on the Christ consciousness that founded this country, that founded the principles upon which this country is based, which should be serving as an example to the world. And animal magnetism doesn't like it because it is a threat to its existence, which is non-existent. But it's sure trying hard.
He also mentions this, which is what I spoke to on Wednesday night. As the world picture darkens over the next few years, Christian Scientists may have to demonstrate God's promise to Abraham not to destroy the city if 10 good men remain within it. If only a handful of clear thinkers remain, who yield not to the darkness and hold to the revelation and the law contained in the manual, there yet may be a chance to hold forth Christian Science in this age, and with it, what Mrs. Eddy calls free moral agency. So, there's a lot more. He also makes this comment, any effort to discredit Mrs. Eddy draws a heavy veil over the discovery. And he goes into the Peel books and others, that the heavy veil, when she's discredited, when she's not seen as who and what she is, the veil increases, and this is why people say they can't understand science, it's not interesting, who cares about it, it's old-fashioned, all this baloney. So,
and it is baloney.
It is baloney.
It is the human mind that refuses to acknowledge. refuses to be inspired. It refuses to change its base. That's what all of this accusations against the textbook or against Christian Science is. It's the human mind that is floundering. It is not strength, and it is not power. It is floundering.
It would have to, because if it's not God-based, it has no power, no cause, no law, no substance, and we just keep knowing that.
Also, I would add that that quote about the basically delegitimizing the idea of authorized books. Having spent a lot of time in reading rooms, I would say that it's upsetting to find all these books that are so much more helpful than the authorized, quote-unquote authorized books that are out there, and you kind of realize the difference in the watered-down version that is the, quote, you know, authorized version versus the unauthorized that we're getting here at Plainfield, and how much more helpful and practical and useful those, you know, supposedly unauthorized books are. And it's kind of upsetting to find that out so much, you know, later on, having grown up in Christian Science, to know that all that stuff's been sort of suppressed and you've been getting a bad deal all this time.
It's never too late. And that's why we keep praying and knowing that those who need it will find us. You know, it takes a certain type to come here and grasp it and run with the ball. Some grasp it and say, oh, this is wonderful and great, and then they drop the ball. But some grasp it and run with the ball, and that's wonderful. Because this is a work that must be done. One thing I want on the cover is about Jesus Christ. What I say unto ye, I send to you all, watch. That was on the original, and we need that, because that is one of the main thrusts of our church, is watching. Now,
I think that's why Ann Beale was led to serve the purpose, because for once people found out that there were other books that could really help them to practice Christian Science. And then, of course, Plainfield victory over that law case certainly is here to give it all to the world still.
Thank you.
That's right. And that is also why the same organization that, quote, authorizes and unauthorizes is the same organization that sued Ann Beale to try to prevent her from providing these books.
Right.
Well, said she was sued maybe more than once.
I think twice at least.
Rough road, and they were going to sue us for publishing spiritual precepts, but we backed out because we realized they were trying to bankrupt us, which they probably would have done. But divine wisdom was leading us. And also in this, and I will have Jeremy put it on our website so all of you can see it and read it. He mentions our church several times. He mentions all the people that were excommunicated. And he says, as I have felt, if we were so bad, or if any of these people are so bad, they would fall by their own hand. You either rise up or you fall. But he says, too, that we're treated like he uses the words idiot, that we can't figure it out for ourselves. We have to be spoon-fed. I agree with all of this. And he was here in the 80s. He came and visited us, and he mentions, and this all of these things that he wrote in the 80s, and he said about our church that, you know, there were so many people, we had 41 testimonies, and we were full of enthusiasm, and he felt that this, how can you correct the BOD? How can you do that? I have no idea. If anyone has an idea, great, but I don't understand it, especially if they don't understand the science. So he's saying the future is in independent churches that will rise up and somehow come about. And maybe some of them will be virtual, maybe not. I don't know. But I think that, to me, has always made sense. And, you know, after he wrote this, our church, it was as if we were bombed. And we'd gone through a bloody war, and we were victorious. But it tried to wipe us out, but it didn't. And there's just only a small remnant left here working. But it was enough. It was enough. And it continues. And it's rising up again. So, and it will rise up, because God is behind it all. God is the only power. Thank you. That's right.
One of the blessings of independent churches, I don't remember where I read this, but it was years before I even came to Plainfield, was the idea that your community has specific needs.
Yes.
And you would be able to do it in what God led you to
yes.
do it, rather than what a blanket.
That's it. And I mean, that's true about our government, too. Local, what you need locally. I mean, frankly, in our community, we have a lot of Hispanics. We should have an Hispanic service if we had. But that would be meeting the need. And so that's how it should be. But you see, if we get all this, quote, unauthorized literature out, which explains so much and tells you so much and gives you the correct understanding of Mrs. Eddy, everything will rise up out of the ashes. You're getting taught by the greats, certainly by Mrs. Eddy, but then also Martha Wilcox, Bigdell Young, Eustace.
Kimball.
You read these books. They're your teachers. Carpenter.
Yeah,
oh,
Carpenter,
my goodness.
Carpenter,
definitely.
Kratzer.
All these books. They'll do the work.
The books are strong. I mean, when you read those, I feel something. Something's just powerful.
The truth is in them.
Yes.
They're expressing what they have discovered themselves. It rings true.
And you see, my goodness, you all have the intelligence to figure this out.
Yes.
Goodness me, isn't that amazing? Maybe that means we have the mind of Christ. Maybe that means we should be living this science instead of blanketing it out. My gosh, Florence, you figured that out on your own.
And your own connection to God, too, not meeting someone else.
Tell you. Yeah. And I figured out that the Peel books are C-R-A-P.
Worse than that.
And frankly, if anyone sees them or anything, I burn them.
Don't leave them around for anyone else
to read.
No.
That's how strongly we feel.
Yep.
And Gary wrote a scathing email to Longyear, who sells them. So, this is the truth, and nothing but the truth. So now I would like Linda to read what she wrote on the forum about Matthew, from Matthew. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say quickly that one of the most important literatures that we have to protect is the bound volumes.
Yes.
The first time in my little church when I pulled out the original ones, it was so incredible to me how different the writing was. And Mrs. Eddy was the editor from, I think, 83 to maybe 1883 to maybe 87. Everything in there was under, you know, she absolutely approved. And then she watched over it very diligently. And the Christian scientists, the regular Christian scientists, have absolutely no value of them, and I was just barely able to rescue these from the recycling bin. And so keep your eyes open for them and grab the old ones if you can.
Thank you very much, Mike. Very true. The old bound volumes, they're priceless.
And just to finish this idea of authorized literature, what is it that it authorizes? Literature. I mean, what is it that's trying to authorize literature up in Boston?
Human mind.
It's the human mind, yes. It's the human mind who fears for its own extinction. And can the human mind recognize good literature versus uninspired literature? Of course not. That's why the authorized literature is garbage. And that which is deemed unauthorized is really the inspired word. So it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody when you recognize the whole concept of authorized literature doesn't make any sense in science.
So you don't understand, that's what it is.
Right. The premise of authorized literature is that you're too stupid to know what's good, what's not good.
It's under the guise of keeping the science pure, which is really wicked.
But isn't it also malpractice, though?
It's all malpractice. Everything about it is wrong. Yes. The premise is that there's more than one mind. The premise is that you're stupid. The premise, everything about it is wrong.
It's convenient that they do it, though, because we know what to avoid.
Yeah. If it's not Mrs. Eddy, then if they recommend it, that probably means you shouldn't read it.
One of the articles said Mrs. Eddy wanted her students to think for themselves.
The time for thinkers has come.
Of course. Absolutely.
It all makes sense. And
the whole idea of authorizing, ultimately, the desire is tyrannical control.
Yeah.
Where it ends up, where you let it develop.
And again, it's not person, place, or thing. It is the Antichrist that will operate when the human mind gets involved. And we've learned the human mind is a killer. It's destructive. It's out to destroy. That's just the nature of it. Why? Because all error can do is destroy itself, right? So it will. So I feel, get out of the way and let it go.
Yeah, because it'll take anybody with it.
That it can.
That doesn't let go of it.
And many are ignorant, but woe be to the malicious one, and woe be to any malicious thought. Woe be. That's why I can speak freely here, because I know if anyone is listening who's malicious, honey, you better think again, okay? It's not malpractice, but if you are not on the side of right and God, there's something hanging over your head that's going to, grind to a powder.
By the morning.
Night without a star.
Night without a star, and we say that. A lake of fire and a night without a star. Woe be to anyone who would interfere with God's work. And this is whatever is God's work, and that's our safety. Because if this isn't God's work, then we're in trouble. But that's true about anything. Woe be to anyone who would interfere, try to harm God's work. And I say in our church, nation, world. And they will be sent to a lake of fire and a night without a star.
Mrs. Eddy said stuff like this, too. This was just,
She did. And a lot of these things used to be kept more quietly. But now everything's out on the Internet anyway. So, you know, let it rip.
Let it rip.
Yep, let it rip. Okay, Linda, go ahead.
Okay,
Matthew
so
Henry.
I'm going to read from Matthew Henry, and the topic is about church work. And it really caught my eye, and it's actually a very long article. It's worth reading. I just kept it a little short for the Forum Post. And it's Matthew Henry, commentary on Ezekiel 34. Quote, "The priest took no care to instruct the ignorant, to rectify the mistakes of those that were in error, to warn the unruly, or to comfort the feeble-minded. They did not do their duty to those of the flock, those that called themselves shepherds, but really they were not. And if those that undertake to be shepherds are foolish shepherds, if they are proud and above their business, idle, and do not love their business, or faithless and unconcerned about it, the case of the flock is as bad as if it were without a shepherd. Better no shepherd than such shepherds. Christ complains that his flock were as sheep having no shepherd. Yet the scribes and Pharisees sat in Moses' feet at his time." End quote.
Thank you. So I thank the good shepherds that have been before us. And today, and certainly Andrew Hartsook, Miley, Reg Carey, Doris and Steve Evans, shepherds who spoke out and who demonstrated unselfed love, which gets us to our lesson. Subject, sacrament. Golden text, Hosea. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Now, many people have trouble understanding what unself-love is. If you look it up in the dictionary, actually I couldn't find it in the 1828, but it says to do away with selfhood, lack of self. And also, our church, in looking up unself-love, comes up because we quote, and I believe barely found this years ago, and I'm pretty sure it's on our website, but I will have Gary read. This is in the Eustace book. It's clear, correct teaching. Page 525 and 526.
Unselfed. The commonly accepted definition of unselfed, by which is meant to be unselfish, is entirely separate from and unlike the metaphysical meaning of the word. Unselfishness, as humanly interpreted, is full of personalities, and to be unselfish means to be doing for or giving to others. Whereas, to be unselfed, in the true metaphysical or spiritual sense, is the exact opposite. It has absolutely no personality attached to it. It is centered entirely on God as all in all. Every thought begins with God and flows from Him, unfolding His presentation of Himself in all the beauty, glory, and completeness of His own being. God does not give. He is. And man is His showing forth. To be unselfed means never to harbor a thought which starts from effect. To think in terms of effect is to mentally malpractice, because it is accepting something aside from God, the one cause. You have learned that you cannot mentally malpractice without doing so maliciously, for all wrong thought, being finite, has only one result, death. And death always means maliciousness, the last enemy. Then to be unselfed means to start with cause, God, and to find Him as the basis and substance of all being. Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, there is only one way through and only one, and that is to become unselfed, end quote. Impersonality and unselfedness go hand in hand because both start with God as causation and never with effect. Effect, in other words, what is seen to the spiritually minded, is like the image in the mirror. Its one and only purpose is to testify to the substance of the image, the object before the mirror, the cause, and never to itself, the effect. To do this is to become unselfed, and is the only way to be impersonally and spiritually minded.
Now, I can't tell you how important this is. So, for those of you, and myself included, please study, think about what this is saying. Because there's often about being unselfish, and certainly unselfish is good, but this goes much deeper. And in order to accomplish the work that needs to be done, it requires what?
Love. Unselfed love.
An unselfed love. Mrs. Eddy says it. She says all that she's ever accomplished was through unselfed love. In the first page on the chapter of prayer, the prayer that reforms the sinner and heals the sick is an absolute faith that all things are possible to God, a spiritual understanding of Him, and
An unselfed love.
If your prayer isn't working, go back to that first sentence. An unselfed love. Are you unselfed? And unselfed is getting rid of self and letting God use you to whatever purpose and means that might imply. I mean, we have the example in Christ Jesus in this lesson where he was willing to be crucified. Thy will be done, Father, not his own. We have the example in Mrs. Eddy. So, we each have our place to fulfill. And that doesn't mean, you know, you have to look forward to being crucified necessarily, but you have to be willing to do whatever is needed in the spot where you are to fulfill your unselfed mission. And the point is getting rid of self and letting God use you. It's a tremendous concept. And there is also, I noticed, maybe we can look at, well, it's an article. It was in the Christian Science Monitor in 1889. You can find it online, but maybe we'll have that in one of our magazines. Maybe we'll do a magazine on unself-love. So important. And Parthens wrote to it. So I will have, I guess, Bruce, you can read it. There too.
Parthens, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Matthew 26:38. Following Christ in the way of Christian Science costs something. Complete surrender of self. See Luke 14:25-33. Count the cost. Sermon of the Mount makes known the very costly process of giving up of self's most valued and defended possessions, likening it to giving up my right eye or right hand, banishing anything that keeps me from watchfully maintaining my alignment with God at all times. This complete giving up of self is the great price that must be paid in full, which alone purchases the pearl of great price. Ever absent from my post, ever off guard, this is right. The key to obedient, successful watching is maintaining first love for God in concentrated, consecrated commitment to doing his will every moment of my life. It was lack of first love that put the disciples to sleep throughout that one fateful hour when Jesus needed them most. Kindle the watch fires of unself love, and they throw a light upon the uncomplaining agony, the life of our Lord. They open the enigmatical seals of the angel standing in the sun, a glorified spiritual idea of the ever-present God, in whom there is no darkness, but all is light and man's immortal being. Message of O2.
It's very interesting, and you can look up, I don't know whether we'll read it today, but his references to Luke 14:25-33. It's very important. I think we have had it in a lesson. We should probably have it again. Count the cost, what Christ Jesus says about that. And also, I know when I spoke to Parsons this week, and he said when he found that in the message of 1902, he was so struck. Think about it, what Mrs. Eddy is saying here. Kindle the watch fires of unselfed love. What does it mean to kindle?
Light.
The flame going.
Light it.
Right. Put fuel on it.
And they throw a light upon the uncomplaining agony in the life of our Lord. They open the enigmatical seals of the angel standing in the sun, a glorified spiritual idea of the ever-present God, in whom there is no darkness, but all is light, and man's immortal being. think of what this unselfed love can do. There's nothing it cannot do, because love is what? The liberator? Love is the only power?
Fulfilling of the law?
Fulfilling of the law?
It is the principle that created the universe and everything that's in it.
Yes. And if you think this is out of your reach or class, do not think that, because who's telling you that? Yes.
Through Mrs. Eddy.
Yes. Would God be saying, oh, well, you know, unself-love is great, but you can't ever achieve it. Forget it. Only Christ Jesus and Mrs. Eddy could do it, so don't even try. Why would God say that? Of course God's not saying that. He's saying you can do it.
I like thinking of it that way, that, you know, God wouldn't create this perfect system and then make me unable to take part in it.
Yes.
Exactly right.
And Mrs. Eddy also talks about, you know, the way to extract error from mortal mind is to...
Or in truth.
To flood tides of love. So, without that.
Without that. And one of my favorites, I quote it often, is whatever holds human thought in line with
unself-love.
What happens?
Directly the divine power.
It sees directly the divine power. You see? So think about what it is and the difference. What is the difference between unselfed and unselfish? What it used to say?
Unselfish is based on selfhood and various people around you, maybe not focused on yourself. But unselfed is based on God. Because it starts from there, it benefits everyone in the divine way.
Thank you. I used to run around trying so hard to be unselfish and do things for people, and it was always ended up a mess. That's not it. That's human. But get out of the way and you let God use you. You'll get ideas as to what to do, what to say, who to help, where to go. It'll just come to you. That's the unself, and it always blesses. So, and this is what this lesson is about, because this is what the Christ did. And all of you, I mean, there are many good things that were on our forum this week that I don't have time to get into, but it's most important, because Jesus would say it wasn't his will, but God's will. The other thing, I thought this was interesting, 43 in Science and Health, where Jesus rose higher in demonstration because of the cup of bitterness he drank. Human law had condemned him, but he was demonstrating divine science. Out of the reach of the barbarity of his enemies, he was acting under spiritual law in defiance of matter and mortality, and that spiritual law sustained him. The divine must overcome the human at every point. Again, unselfed versus unselfish. The divine overcoming the human. And a week or so ago, I gave a testimony about it. In every problem, in every treatment you give, three things you've got to handle. And this comes from, it was both Bignell Young and Kimball, because I think one taught the other. Kimball taught Young. Law, cause, substance. In every situation that you're having a problem, you're under some human law that says you're sick for a reason, or you know, you don't get along with your family, your mother-in-law, or there's some human law, you're going through the terrible twos with your child. It's some human law. You go to the divine law, and this is what this statement is saying. The human law had condemned Jesus, but he appealed to the spiritual law. He was acting under spiritual law in defiance, and that's what you have, the way you have to do, you have to defy it. I defy you. You're an imposter. I'm not under your law. I'm under the law of God, and that's the only law there is.
It's the law he's saying to make unto ourselves, as I said, he's telling us to do.
Yes. Be a law unto yourself. And that law, he said, that spiritual law sustained him. And think of what it did. It overcame all the beliefs of death, all the beliefs of his body being beaten and mangled and all of that. He overcame it all in defiance of that human law. So there's nothing that you can't overcome when you come under this divine. The divine must overcome the human at every point. If you don't think it's worth the effort, think again. It's the only thing that is worth an effort. It heals everything. And then you go on after law to cause or some human reasoning to the for the problem, and then also substance, that you're in matter and not in spirit. You handle those three things thoroughly, healing takes place in defiance of what matter tells you. Okay, any comments on any of this?
Yes, I would just like to add, I don't know if this is right, but somebody once brought this up about Peter falling asleep, and they said to me, what would he have learned and how much progress would he have made had he stayed awake with Jesus doing that watch when Jesus needed him? So.
Well, and that's true, and I was looking for the quote from Mrs. Eddy where she says, the world would be in a different place now if they had not fallen asleep. So here we are, you know. Are you doing the watches, or are you falling asleep? Are you just being taken off by the materialism of the day? So, no, that's a very good point, a very important point. And this is why we cannot emphasize watching enough.
And how important I feel to as often as possible, really think about the law governing you. I really do. I have done that, and it's incredibly helpful, that the only law governing anything, myself, anything about me, is the law of God, the law of love. If I get a certain feeling, which I love, it's like something protecting, something just truly powerfully protecting. That's the law.
Yes, thank you. So this is our divine right to be this way, to be unselfed, to live this life, to have God working in our life. We'll end today with, it's something I love, Mrs. Eddy's article, Age. I'll have Gary just read part of it. But it tells you how you need to spend time every day acknowledging your God-given selfhood, individuality, and to cast off all of this human personality.
This is Age by Mary Baker Eddy. I ask for you to keep a time for meditation every day. Ponder in thought your infinite, harmonious, Christ-expressing selfhood and claim it as you. Drink in its unspeakable safety. All the truth and beauty of God's creation is yours and you. Enjoy it in sincere prayer and thanksgiving. Preserve your human sense of yourself rightly by dwelling in definite treatment every day within the sanctity and integrity of your real selfhood. In that hour of prayer, discard all your false sense of selfhood, all that is involved in the beliefs of birth, heredity, association, time, decay, death. By the grace and authority of God, close your thoughts firmly against the interference of mortal belief. Hold yourself open to the plans of God and closed to the plots of Satan. Rise into the spiritual forces of your own destiny. Each day will begin and unfold under the authority of divine mind and will be well ordered, rightly balanced, filled with spiritual good. This magnificent spiritual exercise of treating yourself in devoted prayer and praying for yourself will keep you in the secret place, which is unknown to the senses and open to all that heaven holds for you.
Now, who wouldn't want to do that? Can't be that hard. So we will all go forward with more unselfed
love.
Yes.
Love.
Love, yes.
Exactly.
Thank you all for joining
us today.
Thank you
all.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.